Welcome to Flip the Switch on Life podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Marie. I'm an embodiment life coach here to help you live an empowered and soulful life. I guide women towards self-healing to take back their power so that they can start living life by their own rules and embrace their true authenticity. This podcast is your go-to where I will be giving you all the tools and resources to start the process of self-healing, doing the deep inner work, and developing your spiritual wellness. There is so much power in embodying your true self, but we often allow fear and comfortability to control our lives, keep us playing small, and settling for less than we deserve. By learning to rewire your subconscious, you will discover your truest and your highest self. You will learn how to take back control and flip the switch on your life. So thank you so much for listening. Now let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode on Flip the Switch on Life. I'm your host, Jessica Marie. I am so excited to share the potency, the magnetism, the rawness of this episode. And specifically for women, we need more of these conversations normalized. And I'm so excited to share this with you today because just a backstory, high level. These sort of conversations I wish I had when I was 15, when I was 20. And Leslie and I, that we're about to dive deeper into, are going into the topics around reclaiming your sexuality, reclaiming the word pussy, reclaiming the shame around your sexuality, around your body, around your bleed. There are so many times where I've been in conversations where the word pussy was icky, even for myself, where I would hate my period, like literally grossed out by the natural ways that my body is moving through. And, you know, we're bringing normalcy to these conversations. And we are talking about these sort of conversations in the feminine body in a way where we hope to activate you in a way of finding what parts of you still need healing, what parts of you don't feel free. And I'm so excited to welcome Leslie Draffin. She is a certified psychedelic integration guide, somatic embodiment coach, and she is passionate about helping people embrace their bodies, cycles, sex, and psychedelics. She supports conscious souls who want to heal themselves through intentional microdosing, which we're going to get into, how psychedelics can help open you up and let go of some of that shame you might be carrying. She also focuses on womb reconnection, which we're going to dive deeper into, and somatic trauma recovery. And I'm so excited again for this episode because of the conversations we're having of how we need to start relating and talking about our bodies and so much more. So let's just dive right in. Hello, Leslie. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so good. I'm so excited to be here too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I feel like the conversation we're going to have is going to be powerful and it might be triggering, but all to say it's going to be really impactful. And I'm really excited to have more of these conversations and normalize them. So I know everyone's kind of on their toes, like, what is this? What is this conversation going to be? Leslie, I'd love for you to kind of introduce yourself and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Leslie Draffin, and I am a former TV news anchor turned somatic psychedelic guide. And I really came to this work after spending 20 plus years numbing out, punishing myself with eating disorders and alcohol abuse, really because when I was 18, I was diagnosed with herpes. And I sank into this massive shame spiral that was fueled by the fact that I was a preacher's daughter in a very conservative state in the South. And it left me feeling really worthless and dirty. And so what did I do? I really got addicted to hustling and grinding and achieving and proving so that I could earn my worthiness and earn this love. And I was really good at my job. I was really good at being in the masculine. But While it looked like from the outside in, I had everything going for me. I was making six figures. I was on TV. I was really feeling so stuck inside. I felt anxious. I felt depressed. And so I did what modern Western medicine says to do. I went to therapy. I got on medications. I spent thousands of dollars trying to find out these other spiritual and mindfulness-based modalities to kind of help me. And nothing really clicked until I found psychedelic medicine in the form of magic mushrooms. And so those sacred teachers really helped me not only heal my mental health and connect to my purpose, but overcome poor body image, get sober. And they sent me the message that I needed to leave my job and I needed to step more into my purpose and power to awaken other women specifically, to the fact that, we have the answers within us. It's just that society's continuously trying to make us forget. And when we can peel back the layers, of our desires and unlearn that programming, we really can create the lives of our dreams.
Preaching it, like everything that you said, I'm like, yes. And that's something that I preach as well. And I think for a lot of us, it is that, okay, but how did you, okay, but how did you create the courage, the bravery? And you mentioned the use of psychedelics, specifically magic mushrooms, psilocybin. I have shared publicly that I've done three journeys with psilocybin, plan to do more, and even go with ayahuasca this year too. And I think there's something so potent about the opportunity that they give us. And it's not necessarily the medicine itself. It's really, like you said, accessing our own power. And that's something I really want to dive into, is accessing our own power as women and knowing that it all lies within ourselves. And so you mentioned somatic work, you mentioned pleasure, womb reconnection. Tell me more how you got specifically into that, because there's a lot of women I speak to, and myself included, where it was like, oh yeah, let's do the inner work. Let's get into our bodies. My first opening to spirituality was breath work. And to what you're alluding to is like the whole getting, like allowing ourselves to like have this moment of like, whoa, life can shift. But what we don't really talk about specifically as women is the pleasure and of the connection to our pussy, connection to our body in a way that is still very taboo in our culture and our society. So, Leslie, I'd love for you to first walk us through, what did that journey look like for you to get acquainted and more reconnected to your body? And then how did you start getting that into work? And how does that, like, how do you help women shift into finding that reconnection for themselves?
So, the first thing I think it's important to know is, I was filled with so much shame for so much of my life, because of the fact that, I was raised very deeply in the church and then had herpes as a diagnosis right after I lost my virginity, like weeks later. And so my entire sexual life was tied up around this big scarlet H that I felt I was carrying with me. And I was in these terrible relationships with people that I felt like I needed to feel lucky that they loved me. And so I allowed so much of, my 20s specifically to be really wrapped up in this shame spiral. And so you said breath work was like your entryway. Meditation was really what first got me started on my spiritual path. I spent, like I said, the 20s really just questioning if anything was really even out there. I was really pretty pissed at God. And so I spent my 20s just really disconnected and more like an agnostic slash not super atheist, but just not really giving a shit about what else was out there. I was also very deeply in my eating disorder, very deeply in alcohol abuse, taking Adderall, for the weight loss aspect of it, as well as like keeping me up because I had such a terrible TV schedule. So when I found meditation, I think it was right when I was turning 33. Like you said, like that was very much a top-down perspective of trying to help me get my mind right so that I could then get my anxiety under control and my depression under control. But all that year in 2019, what I kept hearing when I would go into these meditations was like, you have to get off birth control. You have to connect with your womb. you're stifling your divine feminine because of these hormonal drugs that you're putting in your body. And so you got to get out of that. You got to get rid of them. And so my fiance husband, well, fiance at the time, soon to be husband, decided to get a vasectomy because we don't want to have any kids. And I came off of the pill in 2020. And that was really the start of, I think, all of this wild roller coaster, because I lost my libido completely and
After you got
didn't get
off
my
the
period
pill?
back. Yeah, when I got off the
Wow.
pill, like lost it completely. And I was a newlywed. And granted, we were in the midst of the pandemic, so stress was so high collectively. And what I first tried to really do is tackle that problem that I saw, which was the lack of desire and the lack of libido. And that really led me to learning about connecting to the womb, connecting to the pussy, and doing it in a way that felt sacred versus just orgasm oriented, right? And so I talk a lot about pleasure being such a healing tool, and especially for trauma. But when I say pleasure, what I mean is sensuality, without it being goal oriented. And how can we really start to sink into the sensations that come up when we take the time to get into our body and experience those things? And so I had some really wonderful teachers, Rosie Reese, who owns Yoni Pleasure Palace out of Australia. She was probably one of my first who really started to help me understand the sacred slowness of sensuality. And I used to be so averse to dance, and like I didn't want to do like ecstatic dance or erotic dance. But slowly that was also really helpful. And then finally, what was interesting is as I'm trying to get my libido back, my period is still nowhere to be found. And I get diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is pretty common. And basically, it just means that you don't have a regular cycle. You may have elevated male hormones, and you have potentially other symptoms like cysts on the ovaries or acne or hair falling out, which I certainly had those two things happen. And I tried to masculine my menstrual cycle. I tried to do all the right things to like get my cycle back. But when I started to really work with my womb, to really work with pleasure as a source of personal physical and emotional and spiritual healing, my bleed came back. It finally got regular after about a year and a half, but it came back about 9 months after I stopped the pill. And I think that those two things really rocketed me into the world of coaching, because I was still a news anchor at this point, but I was learning so much. I live in a place that does not have great information out there other than just go to the doctor and let them prescribe you birth control, which is like the only thing my doctor wanted me to do. Go back on the pill. And so I had to do all of this, outside work, reading books and taking courses. And so I got certified as a menstrual cycle coach first in 2021. And that really blossomed into working with women and menstruators specifically. And when I did, I learned that the first thing we had to do was tackle shame. Because when we hold on to shame, a lot of us hold that in the womb space. And that really just came full circle for me because of how much shame I'd been holding on to since I was a teenager. And so that's sort of how I got here, right? I was a menstrual cycle coach. I started working with women. I noticed how much trauma and shame they were holding on to. And then I found psychedelics personally. Like you, had some really amazing full dose journeys, as well as some really powerful microdosing protocol journeys. And again, in late 2022, really felt this like message from the medicine that this was part of the path that I needed to be on. And when I started combining helping women and menstruators connect with their womb and their cycle with the very trauma-informed psychedelic approach that I use as well as somatics, it was like this weird, like, aha, like, holy shit, this is the ticket. And that's when massive growth not only started to happen for myself and in my own healing, but for countless clients as well.
Wow, so many things.
So many things.
So many things. And I also see myself in your story too, and I see a lot of women that I've worked with, women that are in my community that can see themselves in your story. And I really want to highlight this essence of when you got off the pill. Actually, I got off the pill in 2022. 2020 as well, not 2022. And so it really led you to this like path of reconnection with your body. Now I'm curious too, was that like your first option was to go holistic, or were you looking at other options, like diagnoses and like how to like heal the symptoms and stuff like that? Like what really brought you into this connection of your womb and connection of your body?
I think the first thing I did was read some amazing books. One of them's by Elisa Viti. And the books are called Woman Code and In the Flow. Highly recommend. They were literally like my Bible back then. And she takes a very holistic approach, from a more, I believe, functional medicine side of things. So it was, what are you eating? How are you working out? And so from the start, that was really what I wanted to do as far as living cyclically. Several months passed, I'm on TV as my job. I get cystic acne, my hair starts to fall out. I'm like, oh my goddess, we have to figure this shit out. Like, I can't keep going on the news feeling like this. And so I did get the blood work done, and I did get a diagnosis of PCOS. And yet my cycle did not come back until I started to work with my womb. Until I began to relax and stop feeling like I had to force myself to do all the right things. When I started to ease into what I really feel like was my beginning to understand the feminine flow of things, that is when I started to notice my cycle was more regular. The blood looked like blood. It wasn't dark anymore. It wasn't super light. And so I think, for me, it makes so much sense knowing how much in my masculine I was. I had to like kind of fuck up doing it the masculine way for the feminine to be like, see, baby, like if you would have just come with us the first time, we could have helped you from the start. But I was such a hard-headed person at that point, feeling like I needed to do everything right. Like that's been such a theme in my life, again, because of the way I was raised and because of the shame that I had after that diagnosis. I felt like I needed to follow all of the rules, check all the boxes, do all of the things in order to succeed. And what I heard and learned from this womb work was you can rest, like you can relax, like it can come to you in a different way than you've ever actually imagined.
Yeah, there's a lot to say in that, because I feel for a lot of women. I mean, really looking at the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, it's really meant to hold women in this specific position. And as I started delving deeper into my spiritual journey, it's like things just opened my eyes, where I was like, oh my gosh, like the world has been created in a way where women are suppressed purposefully, purposefully. And so I believe as a woman, or a person identifying as a woman, when you start to realize that, it really shifts how you perceive yourself and perceive other women in your life and how society perceives women. And so I think that was a big catalyzer for me, and it sounds like for you as well, in a degree, where you started to say like, okay, I want to like take back my own power. How do I start? And you mentioned shame quite a bit, and how shame is really stored in our womb. And I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit on that, what that looks like, what that feels like, so if women are listening to this podcast, they can start to really have the desire to maybe take back control in a way that they didn't know was possible, because a lot of us are operated and conditioned to do the masculine way, right? Go to the doctors, get the blood work, do this, get on the pills, et cetera, versus like, how is your body actually communicating with you, and what piece are you missing maybe?
If you're listening and you're feeling like, is this me? Some of the ways that the disconnection or the shame can often show up that don't feel super conscious. Like you might totally be aware of where your shame is coming up, but it can also come up in ways like having it be hard to make a decision, not feeling like you can actually trust yourself. If you have to get a bunch of people's opinions before you make a decision, that can very much be you disconnected from your intuition, from your womb, and also a little bit of that shame coming in. And I think that just there are so many ways it shows up. But what's also interesting is that when we start to understand how the womb itself works and how we store things in the womb, energetically, subconsciously, I think that's what really can start to help us understand that that is the key. Our womb is absolutely the seat of our power. And like you said, this whole society has been set up to make us forget that, to ostracize us, to other us, and to make us, you know, submit to a patriarchal world. And so as I was doing all of this research and reading all of the more medical cyclical living books, I stumbled upon a few that really started to help me understand that the power lies in seeing your period as a superpower itself and a source of your sacredness. And so if you want to start connecting to yourself in this way, the first thing I would recommend you do is start to honor your period. Just start to slow down when you're on your bleed. Maybe start to wear red. Maybe you have some special ritual that you do. Maybe it's a bath. Maybe you get a massage, whether that's from a partner, from yourself, or from an actual professional. But doing something that goes completely against the grain of what society says about the bleed, which is that it's disgusting, gross, ignore it, not a big deal. We want to honor this. We want to make it seem sacred. We want it to make it seem, you know, revered. There's a really amazing book called The Red Tent. The woman's name who wrote it escapes me, but it's a fictional book based on the Bible. And in the story, it talks about, and this, there are some like actual historical facts around this, that when our ancestors bled, they came together in the red tent to bleed together. They told their stories. They were creative. They spent time with the other women. They didn't do the mundane things of cooking and cleaning. In fact, either the women who were not bleeding at that time or some of the others in the tribe would often take care of them. The elders would come to them during this time of their bleed to seek out wisdom. And so I really started to pause, like have a period pause and just pamper the shit out of myself. And that was, I think, the very first thing that started to switch that shift within me. To one, help me reclaim the power that is being a woman and start to completely unlearn all of the societal programming about what the period is. Because we think that it's not important. A doctor will tell you you don't even need a period until you want to get pregnant, and that's fucking bullshit. And, you know, when we look at all of the tampon commercials, like I remember, and I'm 38 this year, so I remember the ones from the early 2000s where the girls were jumping on trampolines wearing all white. It was like Playtex sport, like anything you can do, I can do. It's like,
yep.
Yes. And what we need is a reclamation of our bleed and a coming together of sisters in sacred circle to help us connect with that part of ourselves. And so honoring your bleed by resting, talking about your period to people who are in your life. And if you can, you know, I know you're so big on community, finding other women, other menstruators that you can come together and do something special. Maybe you're bleeding at the same time. Maybe you just have a full moon or a new moon ceremony together. But I think those are some really actionable ways that you can start to connect with this space, because it does sound kind of quote unquote woo to just be like, go into your womb, but it's actually really easy to do it when you have the intention to connect with that space.
Yeah. I feel as women, it is so sacred and so special to reclaim ourselves. And you mentioned reclamation of our bleed and reclamation of the feminine. You talked about sensuality. You talked about pussy. You talked about the seed of our power is in our womb space. And we've been so closed off. We've been so muted. We've been so held back from our truth, our intuition. And when we really look at these ancient practices, when we really look at the way that our body responds to us, it is a really big distortion of like what we should be doing versus what we've done in the past. And when we talk about standing in your power, when we talk about reclaiming ourselves from shame, it really is this desire, this need to really reconnect with the feminine, the femininity. And when we talk about where that comes from, where that lies, it has been really powerful for me as a lived experience to really connect with my sensuality and really connecting more with my bleed, connecting more with the natural flow of things, right? Like you mentioned a bath, you mentioned sacred rituals, and even like doing even things if that is feeling a little too overstimulating. What I've done when I just kind of started getting into more of creating connection with my body, and also I was in a lot of pain the first day of my bleed that I wouldn't want to put tampons in. So I actually got like the period panties, which was really helpful. But I will be honest with you, at first it felt gross. I was like, ew, I feel myself like bleeding and flowing. And I had to kind of like sit with myself and say like, this is normal, Jess. This is normal. It's a way of like, I don't want to say being all natural, but just really feeling into the shameful parts of just being a woman. And I think it can be the most challenging thing to really reclaim all of yourself as a woman in this society.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also I'm so glad that you spoke about the period panties. When I finally got my bleed back, the thing I said to myself is I'm not going to use tampons anymore. I'm not going to stop up what is supposed to be flowing out. You know, so many people out there will be like, oh, you don't, like the blood is toxic. That's not fucking true. Your period blood is full of stem cells and it is so rich. I mean, that is life force energy. I do a lot of blood magic. Like I've done like blood rituals, and I'm not saying you want to like go that far deep if you're just beginning, but just thinking about the fact that like energetically that is a death cycle. And the last thing I feel like I really want to do is plug it up. Right.
Yeah.
And so I really committed to, for the first year when I got my bleed back, like not using a tampon at all. I've used them a couple of times in the past year and a half because of like swimming or something, but in a cup, I just can't make a cup work for me. But that's another reason, right? Like when we think about that connection to our body, like it does feel weird to feel the drop down of the blood. It can feel really weird when we're ovulating and we have like so much juiciness around that space. And so another thing I think is really powerful is to begin to look at and honor and name correctly the anatomy of the female genitalia. Knowing that, you know, the proper names for things, the labia and the vulva, and that the vagina is not what you see on the outside, it's the inner canal where that tampon would go. One ritual that I love to do and a practice I did so much in the beginning of this for sure was, you know, lowering the lights, maybe just putting some candles, getting a mirror, and just looking at my pussy and really looking at it in a way that wasn't judgmental. That would, you know, pull the folds to the side and really allow myself to worship that part of me and notice what came up for me as a story in my head. Oh, well, this labia is a little bit longer than this one. Well, oh, she looks like she's so tucked in right now, or she looks like she's very like out. Like there's so many stories, and porn does such a bad job of like allowing us to see, quote unquote, what pussies really look like.
Yeah.
But beginning to honor that even with yourself. I am obsessed with pussy art. Like here she, there's one right there.
Oh, I so, see it.
Yeah. There's like a huge one in my other office, drawing it, painting it, allowing your partner, if you're with someone, to also have that worshipful moment, that yoni gazing. That I feel like was also essential to really helping me understand where my power came from. And when I felt really confident and connected to pussy, I felt confident and connected to life.
You know, a book that has been really significant in my healing of the word and healing of the reconnection with my body has been Pussy, a Reclamation.
By I knew you were going to say that.
And It's really eye-opening to feel this reclamation of our bodies. And just something that's coming up for me too is like this, you mentioned shame a lot. And we've talked about shame and where it's living and all of that. And I really believe every woman has a degree of shame around their sexuality, around their sensuality, and maybe even to a degree, big T, little T sexual trauma.
Yes,
and
yes.
especially, you know, I'm 31, so I am a millennial. And, you know, when we were in college, I just remember so many times where it was like, having these one night stands and walking home, like walk of shame, right? And walk of shame was not for men. Walk of shame was derived and like meant for women, like 100%. And so I just remember all these experiences I had in encounters or whether it was in like intercourse or not with men in college. And I just remember just treating my body like shit. And I know a lot of my friends treated their body like shit. And so when we look at those moments and we look at how we're showing up in our life now in leadership, in our business, with our partner, we're just, it's an undoubtedly connection that it has been a part of our upbringing and the experiences that we had. And so to share a little bit of my journey through this, I got out of a three-year relationship last year, and it kind of took me into this journey of really reconnecting with myself. And even before that big life change, I had an abortion when I was 16, and I told three people in my life. And all of a sudden, when the Roe versus Wade stuff was coming up in 2022, it was just like this word vomit of like, you need to deal with that now. And I'm like, why would I deal with that? What are you talking about? I already dealt with that, right? And so that started kind of cracking me open to like, wow, I have had trauma. And so I really thought about all of the women, and specifically women in my circles, where we've had those one night stands, we've had those like, wish I should have said no, but I just stuck it out anyway type of experiences. And when we really look at that, we were really disrespectful to our bodies, meaning that we were really disrespectful to our self-worth. Because as I am now opening myself up to more of these experiences with my body, with my womb, with my pussy, reconnecting a relationship with her, I realize I was powerless in those moments. And when you're mentioning a specific exercise of just like gazing at her and yoni gazing, and just like there comes a lot of shame, I think, as women to even look at that part of ourselves. And when we want to reclaim our power, I know every single woman listening to this podcast is like, I want to be a leader of my life. I want to like make the money that I want to make. I want to work with the people. I want to do all of these things. I want to have this dream partner. It really comes back to you and your womb and your pussy and really reconnecting. So Leslie, I would love to hear like that thought process there. And how do you work with women in the capacity where they can start reconnecting and understanding maybe why there's so much shame there too?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to honor you for sharing that story. Like I just feel for 16-year-old you, my love.
Yeah.
And how much, yeah, I've heard so many women say that same thing when Roe v. Wade got overturned, that their abortion stories came back up and they started to understand. And I think what you were saying about big T, little T, I mean, we all have trauma and it's stored within our bodies.
Yeah.
And no matter how much we talk about that shit in therapy, we cannot move through it.
Yeah.
And so when I started to add in psychedelics, that is when shit shifted. So I think what helps a lot of folks who are very like mind-based, or if you need the science first to like help you understand, one of the main reasons psychedelics work so well is because they work in this part of your brain called your default mode network, which is a higher level functioning system in the brain. That is where our belief center is. It's where our self-worth is. It's where our really ingrained subconscious patterning is. And the way that our brain is set up, it is in this hierarchy. So you have the lower systems for like your motor function, and then the higher systems like your default mode network. Inside the default mode network, there are a lot of these serotonin 2A receptors. And we know that psilocybin specifically works with serotonin 2A. So when we begin to experiment intentionally with psilocybin mushrooms, either in a full dose journey, or I believe in microdosing, but there aren't quite as many studies around microdosing as there are on full dose journeys, it helps to relax the part of our brain, that default mode, that can get really rigid as we age. Think about if you've ever tried affirmations and like written them everywhere, put them on your mirror, and you're like, fuck, no matter how much I tell myself I'm beautiful and I love myself, it's still not working.
Yeah.
That's because that deeply held belief is rigidly frozen in your default mode network. And it probably got there from your childhood, from your teen years, from things like a walk of shame. Like all of those beliefs get really locked within that space. And so under psychedelics, that space helps to relax. And so you can start to naturally question, where did this come from? Is this serving me? And so when I started to work with people from a somatic psychedelic standpoint, working with them on a microdosing protocol so that they were ingesting small amounts of psilocybin over a 3 or 4 month period, not every day, but a couple times a week, what I started to notice is that just simply by sitting with this medicine and doing the similar things they were already doing, a little bit maybe of the mindset work, more movement, more self-reflection, shame started to shift, beliefs started to shift. And then when we added in the pleasure aspect, where I really asked them to look at their yoni or to, start to understand what they wanted, needed and wanted and desired, start to give themselves self-massages, or just simply allowing yourself to dress like the goddess you feel internally, the combination of the pleasure and the psilocybin, along with that somatic womb work, like just shifts. It just shifts something within people pretty fucking dramatically. And so that seemed to me to be like this aha moment, like, damn, this is the key. This is the key. And I think when we think about the mycelium network and it's just interconnectedness and the ability, if you've had a psychedelic experience, you know what I'm talking about, to like help us see from above how much we are connected and how much we are at one, maybe with source, maybe with universe, but specifically with our own power. I think that that's what really helps to work on these deeply held beliefs around shame or fear or trauma, and to become, it helps it become easier for us to create new patterns where we actually can believe these things we want to believe about ourselves, where we can become, like you said, the leaders of our life and the creators of our universe. And so I think those, like when I create, like came up with that trifecta and realized that it was like, okay, the pleasure in the womb, the psychedelics and the somatics, that seemed to be like the golden ticket to really helping people shift it all through. And it's fascinating because I think individually, all of those things are so powerful. And when you want to up level the shit out of your life and you combine them into, like, I like to refer to them as the Holy Trinity, goddess, like, just be ready. Your shit might fall apart first because I have certainly been there. My 2022 was full of a dark night of the soul, very Kali Ma, like, ugh,
Oh, girl.
ugh. She was here. She
Yes.
was just like, let me rip everything out from under you so that I can show you where you're supposed to be. But I think, like what you said so beautifully in some of your chats with your own psilocybin experiences, like the dark always turns to light. If you want to, if you are willing to shine a light into the dark corners, that's how you heal it. And that's why I started talking openly about having herpes, because if you shine a light onto the places you feel shame about, like that loses its power. But if you think about like a dark room and you're using the flashlight, I see psilocybin as very much this flashlight of like, let me look at this stuff, let me look at this stuff. It's still there whether or not you're looking at it or not. So this is a really powerful ally to help you know yourself more deeply. And again, take the power away from the things within you that are holding you back.
With what you're speaking to, shining the light, and when shame loses its power when you vocalize it, shame loses its power when you stand up to it. It's like a bully. I like to always like refer to my inner critics when I'm working with clients or fears. I'm like, imagine it's a bully. Bullies just want attention. They want connection. They want to be seen. So when you stand up to them, they deflate. So your fears, your shame, your traumas, when you stand up to them, they deflate. And so I love, and also specifically love what you're connecting here is womb work, somatics, psychedelics to help open up those portals in our brain to help us really see what needs to be felt, connected to, and seen. And when we can integrate that, when I was, integrating my abortion and wrote like this forgiveness letter to my younger 16-year-old self, it's not that I regretted what I did, but there was shame around actually doing it because it was like, who was I at six? Like, I wasn't that person that got pregnant.
Right? Like a lot of, they had what that TV show on MTV, like 16 and Pregnant. And I was like, that's not me. That is not me. Oh, bitch, it was you, you know? And so I don't, I'm not a bitch, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I just was like, girl, check yourself because, yeah. And so I think when we can also have playfulness and when we can also really have the spaces to really reconnect with ourselves and again, shine the light, like you're saying, so that we can really take back our power, it really opens a portal for us. And so, again, as a woman in this work with you, when I really got a grip of, excuse me, when I really got a grip of how much shame I had in my body from my abortion, it really shifted my relationship. It really opened up more conversation. It opened up more of how I've closed off myself to my sensual and sexuality to a point where I'm like, there's a whole side of me that I haven't even got to experience and also plays an integral role of how I want to live my life, the type of relationships that I want, the type of lifestyle that I want is all connected to yourself and shame. And again, like you said, it stores in the body. So really being able to reconnect with all of that in a way where it's de-shaming ourselves specifically as women is really, like you said, reclaiming our power in this world that we're living in, which is meant for men.
100%. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. Really powerful. Really, really, really powerful. Leslie, wrapping up this conversation, is there any, I know you gave us so many tips to start, but is there one, maybe one specific tip that you could take out of this conversation where someone could like leave this podcast listening and go do something and implement to like see even a micro shift in their life.
I think it's to honor your period. I think it's to just rest. And you don't have to do anything crazy. But the next time you bleed, just maybe take a nap. Feel into that call for whatever your body is telling you that it needs. Maybe it needs rest. Maybe it needs a bath. Maybe it needs some really like yummy chocolate. Allow yourself to listen to that space. And if you want to take it one step further, start to look at your blood. You know, if it's, you know, maybe you're using tampons, maybe before you toss it, you take a look at it. That's going to not only one help to connect you and start to eradicate blood shame, but it's also really important to like know what that blood looks like because that's a huge indicator for your actual overall health. That would kind of be what I would suggest. And if you're someone who's listening who doesn't have a bleed, maybe you have an IUD, maybe you're pregnant or breastfeeding, maybe you're past the point of bleeding or you have an irregular cycle like I did. You know, there are certainly other things you can do to honor the sacred slowness. You know, maybe you want to connect with the moon phases. The new moon is often the one seen as the one that connects to the menstrual cycle. But this isn't really a conversation about that. I would just suggest honoring the moon, looking at the moon. Her phases are so similar to the phases of the female reproductive system, whereas the sun is very much the masculine hormonal system. So, yeah, I would say honoring the bleed, connecting to the moon, those are certainly the two things that I really started with, my gateways. And if you want more and you're excited after this conversation, I have an online sacred community called The Sanctuary where this is all we do. We talk about pleasure and womb connection and psilocybin. We're in the midst of a mindful microdosing accountability group right now. And I'd love to see you inside. You know, you can use the code SISTER for 2 months free because I feel like when we're there, we're family. And this is really a space that will help you understand how to live life to its fullest, create more juicy moments, and eradicate the shame that makes you feel like you can't go out there and grab what you want. Makes you feel like you need to scroll needlessly on socials and numb out with Netflix and wine, and it that shame that's keeping you from claiming the life that you truly want.
Oof. Oof. Yes. Amen. Everyone, please go sign up for that sanctuary because that sounds really potent and powerful. And there is nothing other than sisterhood that can really help you reconnect with yourself, your body, your shame, and all of that. So, Leslie, thank you so much for this conversation, for normalizing these conversations. And where can we connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Leslie Draffen. You can also check out my podcast, The Light Within. And if you have any questions, you can shoot me a DM. Like I said, you can come into the Sanctuary, which is our online community, and I can give you a link to put in the show notes for folks who want to check out more.
Beautiful. Leslie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Flip the Switch on Life. Please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you appreciate the show, please jump over to iTunes, give us some stars. If you're feeling for it, write a review. And if you want to learn more about these topics that we discussed today, check out the show notes for more information. Or you can also come hang out, shoot me a DM on Instagram. Instagram is Jessica Marie Stepp, and I will see you guys next week.